Thanks, Nathan. Good morning, everybody. It is Maryland Morning on 88.1 WIPR. I'm Tom Hall. Welcome. It's expected that in, about an hour and a half, Judge Barry Williams will announce his verdicts in the trial of Officer Edward Nero. Nero is charged with second-degree assault, reckless endangerment, and two counts of misconduct in office related to the death of Freddie Gray. We'll have complete live coverage of the verdicts as soon as they are announced, so be sure to stay tuned to WIPR after Maryland Morning this morning. So we'll begin the program today with some frankly scary data recently compiled by researchers at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. For some time, it's been known that heart disease and cancer are the leading causes of death in the United States. Now, sometimes patients develop those diseases because of certain behaviors like smoking or something, but often they get sick through no fault of their own. They're just subject to a lousy luck of the draw. But the third leading cause of death in the United States is almost completely preventable. Medical errors in hospitals and healthcare facilities are right behind heart disease and cancer on the list of killers. More people die of preventable mistakes than die of other notorious causes like respiratory disease or stroke. So researchers analyzed 8 years of data and found that things like misdiagnoses and prescription mix-ups account for 250,000 deaths every year. This is frightening, but the doctors behind the research hope their discovery will lead to breakthroughs in the way that hospitals track and approach medical errors. Joining me in the studio is Dr. Michael Daniel. He's a research fellow and co-author of a study about this, along with Dr. Martin A. McCary. It was published earlier this month in a medical journal called the BMJ. Dr. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And I understand you've been a doctor for about a week, huh?
That's right.
You graduated from Hopkins Med School just last week?
I did on Monday.
Well, congratulations, and your intention is to have a residency continue at Hopkins.
That's right. I'm doing internal medicine on the Osler Residency Program at Johns Hopkins Hospital.
Terrific. Well, congratulations, and glad you're staying in town. So let's talk about the kind of medical errors that you studied in this hospital. When we say medical errors, what does that mean?
So a medical error can be any number of things, but usually it's a variation from standard basics of care. So essentially, for example, we have communication breakdowns where a physician is transferring a patient to another physician and information gets lost. And then from that, elements of the patient's care is missed. Other errors include just missing information. They include diagnostic errors. They include faulty equipment, things of that nature. And all of these we found add up to potentially about 250,000 deaths per year in the United States hospital. Now, this was using the 2013 hospital admissions in order to create this data. And essentially, this was scary because before this, we didn't realize exactly how many deaths occurred. And the most commonly cited figures for this were about 44,000 to 98,000, but this data came from about 1984 and 1992, and so that was so long ago, and we just really wanted to update this science and then hopefully from there, allow us to move forward and to start putting in procedures to fix this.
So miscommunication can be a problem, sometimes misdiagnoses.
Correct.
And now, that's what we might refer to, I suppose, as an honest mistake. I mean, a doctor sees a set of symptoms and says, I think it's this, and then it turns out to be that. There are obviously mistakes during surgery. We, have heard about those. Is there one cause of those, that list of three or four things, that is the very much predominant cause of when we talk about medical errors?
Yeah. So some of the major causes include dosing and medication errors, as well as the communication errors. Those were what we found to be the most common, and also some of the most harmful.
So, like a doctor, she intends to prescribe 10 cc's of something for somebody, and she ends up writing 100?
Correct.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then you've got problems. Yes. And drug interactions, sometimes they don't always take into account what one drug will do in conjunction with another drug.
That is correct.
How is the when we take this issue of communication breakdown?
Yeah,
are there protocols then that can be put into place so that those things don't happen? Checks and balances and double checks. I mean, I know Dr. Peter Pronovost, who's been on the show, has talked about a checklist of things that you should, every physician should go down to make sure that nothing slips through the cracks.
Right. Well, so that's exactly right. And that's what we want. So, you know, Dr. Pronovost, for example, has done a lot of work in hospital-acquired infections and in eliminating those by using a checklist. But for medical errors, because this data hasn't been formally looked at and hasn't been part of the conversation for most of, you know, medical care, there isn't those types of procedures in place. I know that at the Armstrong Institute at Johns Hopkins, they're working on putting this type of work together. But for the most part, it's overlooked. And because it's been overlooked, there aren't as much.
And the Armstrong Institute at Hopkins is a particular thing that they set up specifically to look at the issue of medical errors. And other hospitals, University of Maryland and hospitals around the country have similar organizations. So they're you know, the board of directors, as I understand it from Peter Pronovost, you know, they actually talk about medical mistakes in their board meetings. I mean, so this is something that they're trying to keep high on the list of priorities.
But the issue that we're trying to address is that there's a lot of variation in this. So there are a number of hospitals that do, but then there are hospitals that don't. And when these errors occur in, let's say, the hospitals that don't, and even in our hospital, it's a private conversation. It isn't a conversation that's held at a national level. It isn't a conversation that's held so that, you know, everyone is made a member. And because of that, we're not learning from these mistakes in a comprehensive manner. And so that's what we are truly trying to get out there, is trying to encourage both the CDC as well as other people in the hospital to look into this information, to be aware of it, and then from that to really start to put in procedures to help.
Dr. Michael Daniel is the co-author of a Johns Hopkins study that found that medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Let's talk about the CDC, because they don't necessarily buy into the research that you've done. If you look at the CDC website, they would say that the first leading cause of death is heart disease, the second is cancer, and the third is respiratory disease, the fourth is accidents, etc. They haven't quite accepted this, and part of it has to do with the way people report deaths. If you're a physician and someone dies, there's a code you have to put on the death certificate. And I guess there isn't a code that encompasses medical error.
No, that's exactly right. So the code that you're talking about is the International Classification for Disease. So this code was created so that we could compare certain diseases with other countries as well as our own and collect statistics based on gender, ethnicity, race, things like that. Unfortunately, when this code was created, they didn't think about, or at least it wasn't put high on the priority, the issues of medical error and human errors and behavioral errors. And these can cause a lot of damage. So, for example, the code that you could have an overdose, or you could have someone who takes anticoagulation that causes them to, you know, unfortunately expire. And that code is in separate places. It doesn't come together for statistics as well as other behavioral and human factors. And because of this, we're missing that data. And so what we had to use in order to collect our numbers is use the most recent studies. And those, while these are great, these are not the type of census-like tabulation of statistics that you get with the national statistics that the CDC accumulates. So what we wanted was, we were hoping that using the death certificates, is how the CDC currently codes this information, we could add a section that says, did a medical error occur? And by doing that, that would allow for more census-type tabulation, which would give us more accurate numbers, and we'd be able to break it down based on other factors, including location, regions, gender, race, ethnicity, things like that.
CDC says that if you change things now, it makes it difficult to compare American statistics with statistics around the world, that it would no longer be apples and apples, it would be apples and oranges, because the international guidelines might be a little different. What do you think about that?
Well, so what we're asking is not to change the ICD system. I believe the ICD system has been in place for years, since the 1940s, and it does work for that comparison. But what we're looking at is more of just a section that allows for physicians to say something that we did caused this problem. And so this would be, in the beginning, would at least be useful in the United States so that we could tabulate our information. And then, you know, if it works and we're realizing that we're getting a lot of data and we're missing a lot of medical errors, then it can be brought to a national level. And I do know that the death certificate is updated every 13 to 15 years. And I believe the last one was in the early 2000s. So we're getting to a place.
It's about time.
About time.
Yeah, interesting.
To think about it.
The effect of this? I mean, obviously, people think about medical errors, they think about litigation.
Yes.
This is a very litigious society. Obviously, if you put medical error on the death certificate, that's what the lawyer waves in court. Right. I mean, that plays into this a lot, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, it's a tough thing. Essentially, if the data that we have is right, and 250,000 people are losing their lives early due to medical error, then I think that we have to think about, well, what's more important to us? Is it more important that we, you know, put in procedures and we put in practice things that are going to save these people? Or is it more important that we try to protect against, you know, the litigious society that we live in? And the other thing is, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be straight about the litigious side. It also could be, you know, we could try to find ways of making this so that the hospitals and that the medical community can really learn from it without broadcasting the fact that, you know, something may have happened. And a medical error doesn't always have to be that the physician is liable, but the medical error, medical malpractice is a little bit different than medical errors. And so, you know, it may also be that we are just putting it down in a way that allows us to tally, but then also if something does happen, then we can investigate it further for the malpractice side. But I think the tally is more important because that's what's going to help us save lives.
Indeed. Well, Dr. Daniel, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for coming in, and I appreciate your telling us about the study.
Yeah, no problem.
Dr. Michael Daniel is the co-author of a Johns Hopkins study that found that medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States. For more information about this study, you can visit our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. Coming up after a break for the news, this month's installment of Living Questions. John Gehring is the Catholic Program Director at the advocacy group Faith in Public Life. He'll join me to talk about the role religion is playing in this year's election. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us. Here's Nathan.